Okay. I think I'll be able to finish up joke this week. Just 3 weeks of Father's Day. There you go. That's all right. Fathers deserve that. I only got two for mothers. Maybe next year we can get three for mothers too. But. Job's a fascinating man. Fascinating father. Exceptional father. It was all by God's doing. Job was one of God's elect, and Job was saved just like everyone else has ever been saved through Jesus Christ, his Lord and Savior. Just as Abraham saw the Lord's day. And as Job gave testimony in Job 19 that we've repeated every Sunday that we've looked at this. Job 19, verse 25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Job understood as much as any man can the sovereignty of God, and trusted in his sovereignty. And Job's testimony was that throughout his life, even when things came his way, and he could say of God, as he did in Job 42, I know thou canst do everything. And that no thought can be withholden from thee. He knew God. He knew he could trust God. As I just mentioned, he'd come to the state in his life that he couldn't understand what was happening. He couldn't comprehend it all. He could say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And Job, by the grace of God, was a man who was a witness and testimony to those about him, particularly his children. We looked as he was described in verse 1 of Job chapter 1. That it was a man perfect, upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. He was perfect. He was grown up. He was an adult by the grace of God. He was a full-grown believer and trusted in his Savior. He behaved like a man before his children and others. He was upright. And by that simply, he did the right thing. You could trust in Job to do what was right. He feared God. And one who fears God need fear nothing else. And he eschewed evil. He avoided it like the plague. He saw how did all he could to stay away from it. He resisted. He fought. The battle's the Lord's, but we're called in this life, and until the Lord calls us home to fight against evil, to eschew evil, to resist it. Job was a man that had a great testimony before his family, before his community. Proverbs told us a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. He was a man blessed of God. He had great possessions. He was called the greatest of all the men of the East. And was cataloged all the various animals and possessions that he owned. And greatly blessed in his family. 7 sons and 3 daughters. And Job took his responsibility seriously as a father. To provide for his own family. As Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 5:8, if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Job acted as a spiritual leader, not just the financial provider, but a spiritual leader. He prayed for his family. He lifted them up before the Lord. He did sacrifice on their behalf, and we're told in verse 5 of chapter 1 there, that thus did Job continually. He sought to care for his family. He was an exceptional father. Job went through some trials and tribulations. You know, I'm sure he felt like we do, or I do times, like he was God's spoiled child. But then the trouble came. And Job didn't understand it all. And a few more thoughts we'll close with on Job this week. Job teaches us, we may not, we probably not going to understand everything that happens to us, everything that comes across our path, everything that befalls us. But we can always trust God, and we can always take whatever comes our way as from His hand, from a hand that is all sovereign and a hand that is all loving to His people. And when Job lost all, he still trusted God. He still honored God. He was immensely wealthy, the greatest of all the men of the East, but he eventually would lose all of that. More so, he lost his own children. And he lost his own health. And when you come to things like that, it really causes you to reflect. And, you know, being the physical ailments causes, you know, us to think things, or mental things as well. But in spite of it all, Job knew that God would do right. Came a time in Job's life that his servants came and told him, and I won't read over all the details, but they came and told him of all these terrible things that befell him. Various events, some of them natural, some of them man-made, enemy raids. But eventually those things all stripped him of all of his wealth, of everything that he had to his name. Job 1 and verse 18. I'll just read a couple there. And while he was speaking, he'd lost all these things. And as this is being reported to him by his servants, they tell him more. Not only have you lost all your possessions, Job 1 and verse 18, and while he was yet speaking, his servant, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. He seemed to have nothing left. Even his children. And yet Job trusted in a sovereign and a loving God. In verse 20, it continues on there in Job 1. After he's heard all these terrible things, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head. Those were signs of mourning. And felt, and it's Christians mourn, they just don't mourn like the rest of the world. We know that that's not it. That's not the end of it. And Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. All that I have came from God. And if He determined to take it, blessed be the name of the Lord. Verse 22, and all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Brother, you know, I haven't went through what Job went. I can't say that, you know, I think I would stand like that. But I think God would give us grace to. You know, you can ask things like the world asks when they see bad things happening, and the doubters, those who, skeptics, where's God? How could this happen? How could God be a good God for these things to happen? Where's God? I'll tell you where he is. He's on his throne. God is still on his throne. He still rules and reigns. He's still working his perfect will. Bad things happen, and we too often reflect on ourselves, you know. Brethren, it's not about you. Really. It's not about you. It's about the glory of God and God working his perfect will. God accomplishing that which glorifies him. It's not about you. But I'll tell you this, even in the midst of everything and through everything, those who are his can rest in this, that they're loved and that God is working all things together for their good. And so when all this befell him, Job didn't sin. And then on top of that, Job lost virtually all of his own health. You know, you had all these other things that are wreaking havoc upon you, and your physical well-being, your mental well-being, and then his health was taken from him. And we haven't touched much on all that went on in this book. We don't have the time to. You know, Satan wasn't trying to act, you know, as God's emissary or act as the hand of God, but he does. Just like those wicked men who crucified Christ. A fella told me this week, you know, he's, yeah, well, he voted for Trump, and he's going to vote for Trump again because God made him president. Well, you could say the same thing about Obama, you know. Paul says the same thing about Pharaoh or Herod that murdered all those children. You know, it's all in accordance with God's decreed will, but you're not supposed to add your hand to it. You're not supposed to support it and promote it. And yeah, there's a sense in which, yeah, God put Donald Trump where he is, just like he put Pharaoh where he was. Just like he put Hitler where he was. Just as like he put those Romans where they were as they nailed the Savior to the cross. That doesn't justify you putting your hand to it. It's not about you. It's knowing that God is working his perfect will. And even through wicked men and even through Satan, who certainly did not have the well-being of Job in his heart or in mind, and yet God used that all to his glory and to the ultimate betterment of his servant Job. God's timing is perfect. We don't understand it. It's not according to our time schedule. I've throughout my life probably been a little bit too guilty of trying to schedule things and have them determined and ordered and prioritized, and it's not bad to do that, but brethren, we're not in charge of it. Man proposes and God disposes. And it's important that we understand those things. And so Job went through continual trials. He met discouragement from his own wife, who said, Job, I said, why don't you just give up? Curse God and die. You know, just quit. And sometimes, probably we've all approached those times as well. But Job continued to trust God. His closest friends came to him and told him all that was wrong with him. They knew all the reasons these things were happening to Job. Job wasn't being all he should. He wasn't doing as he should. But they knew what he should do and how he should do it. And so Job suffered all these things, discouragement from his wife, disparagement from the supposed friends. But God, in his own time, restored all to Job that he had lost and more. But we can be assured of that. Not always in this life, but what's to come far surpasses any of the trials and tribulations we face in this life. But as a lesson to Job and others, God restores Job. After he's went through all this, and we'll look at a few verses on that in Job 42. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job, look, twice as much as he had before. Then there came unto him all his brethren and all his sisters and all they that had been of his acquaintance before and did eat bread with him in his house, and had bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. And the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. Well, that's true for all children of God. Not always in this life, but that's true of all the children of God. And if you go back and look at the numbers, he doubled all of his flock, all of his possessions. He had 14,000 sheep instead of 7. He had 6,000 camels instead of 3. 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she-asses. And had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. God restored all to Job. And restored all that he had lost in double. You say, yeah, but he only got back 7 sons and 3 daughters. But he still had 14 sons and 6 daughters. You see, there's an eternity. And for whatever reason, God is sovereign and does what he does as he called those children home. It seems evident from all that transpires here and from the narrative that those children were amongst God's elected as well. And they were lost. They just went on ahead of him. They would live forever. So he still had the original 7 sons and 7 more. And the original 3 daughters and 3 more. God is good. Much better to us than we deserve. We continue on there in Job 42, verse 16. After this lived Job 140 years, and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even 4 generations. So Job died, being old and full of days. And once again, there's no indication in the book of Job that Job ever understood in his lifetime what had transpired. That he ever understood what had taken place behind the scenes. That he ever understood the workings of Satan against him, of God in his behalf. And brethren, 100 years from now, it won't matter how many possessions we had. It won't matter what kind of house we lived in. It won't matter what kind of car we drove. Or what kind of prestigious job we had. But as husbands and fathers and men, it will matter what kind of man we were before our families and what kind of man we were before our children. It will matter what kind of heritage we've passed on to them and to their descendants. Job saw his sons and his sons' sons, even for four generations after all this had happened. God allowed him to be an influence, a testimony, and a witness. And I know we look at Job, I look at Job and say, man, I'm not measured up to that. You know, in many, many ways I've failed. But I tell you what, you can do. You can trust God and you can go on from where you are. You know, folks say, well, I failed, I've made a mess of it. Well, stop. Like I always say, that old expression I often use, you know, when you find yourself at the bottom of a deep, dark hole, the first thing you do is stop digging. That's the first law of holes. When you find yourself at the bottom, stop digging. And then by the grace of God, start clawing your way out. You start from where you are and you trust God and you go on from there doing right. You can't right all the things of the past. But you can trust Him to use you into the future. You can trust God to use you as a husband and a father, as a man, to pass on those things that He's been pleased to teach us, to those who will follow us. In Psalm 78, and I'll be wrapping this up, but closing thoughts from that psalm. Psalm 78 usually takes me a little while after I say I'm going to wrap this up. You noticed that before, probably. But anyway, in Psalm 78, verse 1, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. Which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. You know, folks say, well, why do you keep going reflecting on the past and the men of the past and, you know, of your forebears and those who stood before us and passed down godly traditions and God and their banners? And why do you? No, we've heard and known. Our fathers have told us. By the grace of God, He's used people before us. He's used people like Job. And we should thank Him for that. We shouldn't worship those people. They were instruments in His hand. It was by His grace they were what they were. But He used them, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. And because our fathers told us, what about us? Verse 4, we will not hide them from their children. Now, a godly heritage has been passed on to us. We're responsible to pass it on. People don't like that in this day and age, and they want us to forget those things. No, we're obligated. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord. Brother, that is an awesome responsibility we have, an awesome accountability to seek to pass on those things to those who are going to follow us. Even as Job did with his own children. And ultimately to four generations. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength. And His wonderful works that He hath done. And understand, again, it's all by the grace of God. It's all by the sovereign will of God. And it's all to His praise, His strength, His wonderful works that He hath done. He continues on, the psalmist in verse 5, for He established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children. Job understood his responsibility as the spiritual head of that household, and to instruct and to pass on and to teach. And God's held that towards fathers throughout the ages. Even as we've studied in the past, Adam, and he passed those things on to his children. He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them. By and large, the new generation knows nothing of what's happened before. Most of them can't even give you the half century that, the War of Southern Independence took place in. They have no idea of these things. He said, well, the schools fell down. No, parents fell down. Fathers fell down. We have to teach our children these things. They need to know those things that went before. How God had accomplished these things. How God had used men before them. That the generation to come might know them. Even the children which should be born. Who should arise and declare them to their children. Then stop until the Lord Jesus comes and takes us all away. Our accountability, our responsibility. Verse 7, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. I pray that we might heed the words of the psalmist, that we might take to heart the testimony and the life of Job. And it's all by the grace of God. But by His grace, may we be the sort of fathers that Job was, the sort of fathers that God would have us to be. And not only fathers, but parents, fathers and mothers. May we pass on to subsequent generations. May we ever hold forth that torch of truth and pass it on to our children and our children's children. May we trust God even as Job did. And may we ever rest in the knowledge that Job had. Our Redeemer lives. He lives! We're going to see Him again. In this body with our own eyes. By the grace of God. We'll take our hymnals this morning. We'll stand and sing a closing hymn together. Number 173. We have an anchor. Number 173. We'll stand as we sing this out to the Lord. We have an anchor.
Into the rock which cannot move. when our eyes behold through the gathering night the city of gold, the harbor bright, which your anchor fast by the heavenly shore, when the storms all pass forevermore. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, around it firm and deep in the Savior's love.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for each one that's here, for those who listened in, and will listen in later. Lord, that you might bless each one, that you might strengthen and encourage each one. Lord, that by your grace, we might be the sort of folks that Job was. Lord, with a confidence and our Redeemer, with a confidence in your sovereignty, with a trust in your will. And Father, beyond that, even as we consider Job passing on that knowledge to four generations, and as the psalmist reminded us of our obligation to teach and to show those things to subsequent generations. Father, may we be faithful in that. Lord, we can't open eyes, we can't change hearts, but Lord, by your grace, we can speak the truth. Lord, may we ever do that to our own children and to others. Lord, we pray you be with those this week that need your healing, with those that need your comfort, and we especially think of the Tanzillo family with the passing of Audrey. Be with my mom and sister as they travel. And Lord, that you be with each of us. That you use us to your glory, to your honor, that we might come to realize that all that comes our way, that which we would count good and that which we might count bad, is yet from your loving hand. It's for our ultimate good. Oh, we thank you for that confidence that your people have. Thank you, Lord, for our Savior and Job's Savior, for his all-sufficient and completed atonement. It's in his precious name that we pray. Amen.